This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Happy Halloween. We have a special treat for you today. Horror author Max Brooks is with us to talk about the latest edition of his comic series, Extinction Parade, and why we need zombies now more than ever.
Max Brooks is the author of World War Z and the Zombie Survival Guide. He's also the author of the comic series, Extinction Parade. Max, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Good to be here again.
Well, you've got this ongoing series, The Extinction Parade. I understand some people around the country were getting free copies of it in a pre-Halloween celebration. Tell us what Extinction Parade is all about.
Extinction Parade officially is about a zombie outbreak told through the eyes of vampires. And what it really is a study of privilege and what happens when a species is at the top of the food chain and how it's robbed them of the survival skills that the weaker human race has been building over the course of its evolution.
Well, right, and your vampires have been living the good life for thousands of years. They're aristocrats. They're kind of soft. Are they ready for this?
They are not ready for this. Initially, they actually like the zombie outbreak because they like the chaos. And then they realize slowly and carefully that they have an inconvenient truth, which is, what are they going to eat when all the humans are gone?
And now, this sounds like a series where humans exist mainly as a contested food source. Do we have human heroes, or are they kind of on the sidelines here?
Yeah, they are definitely on the sidelines. The humans are trapped in between the growing zombie plague and these apex predator vampires.
Now, why did you choose to tell this story as a graphic novel?
You know, it's a visual story, and I always wanted it to be told in comic book format. I think it's also more important for younger viewers or younger readers, because I think that's... I think it's important for every generation coming up to understand the power of struggle and how failure actually makes you stronger and better, as opposed to just living the good life. I think when things are handed to you, you're completely unprepared for adversity.
And when you were on to talk about World War Z a while back, you talked about, in part, yeah, it's a zombie story, but it's also a story about human infrastructure and planning and choices we make. Do you hope, and you just kind of mentioned our reaction to adversity, do you hope that we'll take this and maybe rethink the way we live our lives, teach our kids?
You know, I hope so. As a parent, I'm watching a whole generation of young people growing up where both soccer teams are given trophies, and parents actually go to job interviews now with their kids. And I thought, how is that helping them when they're not being allowed to fail and pick themselves back up? I grew up seeing what happens to the kids who had it easy, and they do not make for good adults.
Do you think there are other real-world applications here? I'm thinking about a story I read that last year General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, read your book World War Z and took it to the rest of the Chiefs of Staff and said, we need to be prepared for a zombie attack. I mean, do you think there are real-world applications here, even though we're messing around in the world of fantasy and horror?
Oh, no, definitely, because I think that even if the catalyst, the enemy, is fictional, which is zombies, the preparation is very real. You know, people ask me if I have a zombie preparedness kit, and I say, yeah, it's just my earthquake kit. It's all the same stuff. You know, with Zombie Survival Guide and World War Z, I sort of talk about physical preparedness. And with Extinction Parade, I talk about emotional and psychological preparedness, sort of what do you need in your heart and your soul to be ready when things fall apart.
Well, now, if we are living a reasonably good life and not running into adversity, and we can't go out and find a zombie attack, how can we train ourselves in adversity to be ready for bigger adversity?
Well, I think taking risks, and I think embracing failure instead of running away from it, and I think seeing every failure as a chance to get smarter and stronger and more resilient, because the truth is, it's not about how awesome you are, it's how resilient you are.
Do the humans get a chance to be resilient, or are they just sort of the pawns, at least
in
your new series?
Well, humans actually are resilient. That's the point of the story, is that initially vampires sort of look down on them as the biological peasants, as the weaker species, and then they slowly come to realize that it's their weaknesses that have made them strong. It's the compensating for those weaknesses that have made them more resilient, and that the humans have an emotional, psychological survival kit that the vampires just never had.
Is there an environmental stewardship angle here, the vampires realizing that they may have reached peak human and have to start taking action?
No, definitely. And I think that's an important point, because initially the zombies ignore the vampires. And that's important because that's the danger of ecological disaster. You know, nobody's going to directly die from climate change, but they're going to die from all the secondary and tertiary problems caused by climate change. And that's the problem with the vampires. Initially, they ignore the threat until, like I said, they have their inconvenient truth and realize, oh, it's not that the zombies directly threaten us, but they threaten our food source.
I want to see the vampire Al Gore's PowerPoint presentation now.
Oh, there's a whole issue of that where we literally have our vampire Al Gore.
Nice.
Who stops the vampires in the middle of a blood orgy to explain to them that we're all going to die unless we get our act together.
So humans, vampires, you know, zombies, it seems like there's a lot of overlap here. I mean, do you think in a way, I don't know, in a sort of a lit major way, they're all the same person, they're all the same thing?
Well, you know, I think they can be sort of whatever you want them to be. You know, with me growing up watching vampires sort of be worshipped as these sleek and sexy super beings, I took away something very different from the exact same stories, which was they don't have a job.
Well, turning to more kind of World War Z real world crossovers, you wrote earlier this month that you've been asked to compare Ebola to your work in World War Z. You said, when it comes to the world's response to Ebola, you're encouraged. You're seeing a lot more positives as compared to how you portrayed things in World War Z. How so?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think Ebola, the response to Ebola is getting a lot of negative press because that sensationalism and that sells. But the truth is, in my lifetime, I've rarely seen world governments come together so swiftly and massively as in the case of Ebola. I mean, the fact that the U.S. Army is sending 4,000 troops to Africa, the fact that the U.N. is starting to analyze the economic impact of Ebola, all these new measures are being put into place. I mean, this is something I certainly have not seen in a long time.
There are, you know, Ebola is one thing, but there's a lot of scary stuff happening in the real world right now. There are the journalist beheadings, there are our wars, you know, Ebola itself. Do we need this genre right now more than ever, or do you think, on the other hand, maybe there's enough horror already?
Well, I think we do need the genre more than ever because it allows us one step back from the truth, in that real horror triggers our psychological defense mechanism. I think it's human nature that when a threat is too real, such as Ebola or ISIS, people tune out. They don't want to hear it. It's too scary. But if you present these facts with the veneer of science fiction or horror, then it allows people to still sleep at night and hopefully digest some of the lessons from the real world.
As we mark Halloween, what are your favorite horror books and movies? What do you look to maybe to watch again and again on this holiday?
I don't think I can ever get enough of George Romero's original Dawn of the Dead. I think it's an amazing parable for his entire generation of baby boomers. It really tracks their sort of descent into mindless consumerism. And I've always said that I think it should be sold in a box set with Easy Rider. It should be called The Baby Boomers, The Beginning and the End.
So is that something you think is true of your work, too? Are you in that tradition where the zombies are sort of a mark of heedless consumerism?
I don't know about consumerism. I try to put real-world social commentary into my work. I don't want it just to be slasher hacker. I'm always trying to say something more, something deeper. I'm trying not to be too preachy, but I would like to follow in his footsteps. So whether I do a good job or not, that's up for the world to decide.
Is there room for the slasher hacker realm with maybe no hidden meanings behind it?
Well, there's no room in my world. Hmm. I have no patience for mindless entertainment or torture porn. I like a little bit of, I guess, intellectual nutrition in my action. And it doesn't have to be heavy-handed. You know, Jaws, I thought, was a great example of capitalism run amok, but at the end of the day, it was still a giant shark eating people.
Well, for a long time, it was vampires sitting on the throne in the horror world. Zombies kind of ousted them. They're the big popular monster right now. Why do you think that is? If we take your idea that we get the monster of our time, we're into the one that speaks to us. What is it about zombies that speak to us right now?
I think the apocalyptic nature of zombie stories, I think they allow us to sort of explore the apocalypse without it becoming too real. I think when people see a movie like Contagion or read a book like The Road by Cormac McCarthy, I think it's too real. I think people shut them out. But if you see a good zombie story, you're still seeing exactly what would happen in a Hurricane Katrina, but you are able to see it because it's zombies.
Now, you've got Extinction Parade ongoing. You had the Harlem Hellfighters come out, I think, earlier this year. What's next? What's your next project in the works?
There's a couple projects. The Harlem Hellfighters, the true story of the 369th African-American unit in World War I, the movie rights for that has been optioned by Will Smith's company, and I'm currently writing the screenplay. So that was literally 16 years in production. So hopefully it'll see the big screen sometime in the future.
Max, what are you going to be for Halloween?
I am going to be the father of Charlie Chaplin.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
That was Max Brooks, author of World War Z and the Zombie Survival Guide. He's also the author of the comic series Extinction Parade and the graphic novel The Harlem Hellfighters. By the way, right now at the Central Time Facebook page, we are looking to find out your favorite horror movies of all time. Head over there, share your thoughts. Great scary movies, past or present. Maybe something you're going to watch today or this weekend.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.